Well, I thank God for persistent adults. I can say that now. I didn't say it too much when I was in middle school and high school. In fact, when I was in middle school, and divorce ceased to be something that people only whispered about, I actually had this secret wish that my parents would get a divorce so that I could enjoy the same freedom that the children who were being raised in single-parent homes at the time enjoyed. And that gives you just a small inclination of the reasoning power of a kid in middle school. I could only see a very small part of the picture of life, and it all concerned me. Where I saw freedom, the adults in my life saw responsibility. Where I saw harsh discipline, the adults in my life saw loving guidance. Where I saw only a desire to have my own way, adults could see the path that I was going down, and not only that, they knew where the path would lead. I was taught scripture in Sunday school, and I was taught by people whose greatest desire was to give their time in service to God and to act as coaches and mentors and teachers and role models for the children who came into their classrooms. Somehow, when I was growing up, the adults seemed to agree more about what was needed to raise children. The fact is, we kids were fighting a losing battle when we engaged in the rebellion that is always a companion on the journey to adulthood. Were the adults who taught me always right? Of course not. Did they make mistakes sometimes? Of course they did. But even the mistakes of adults can serve as teaching tools for children. And despite the mistakes that my teachers and my parents made, I received a model for commitment and determination and a strong work ethic and a knowledge and love of God and a pattern for living. I'm grateful for the persistent adults who raised me, the ones who were gentle, the ones who were gruff, the ones who were right, the ones who were wrong, the ones who wouldn't let me quit when I wanted to, and the ones who nurtured me in the faith. I was truly surrounded by this large group of adults who weren't swayed by my tactics to make them leave me alone. So in a sense, I was persistent as well. But here's the deal. The adults were more persistent than I was. They wore me down until I could only move forward on the road that they knew would give me a good chance to become a strong and independent adult. Now today we're looking at two passages. In the Luke passage, we find a story of a woman who comes to an unjust judge seeking justice. Now, Luke goes to a lot of trouble to tell us right from the outset that this judge is unjust. So right from the beginning, we know that the widow is at a disadvantage. In those days, judges were the law. No juries, no lawyers, no appeals. Widows were basically homeless and impoverished. When their husbands died, they did not inherit his wealth. The oldest brother of the man who died received the wealth. And so widows were left to just make it on their own the best that they could. So this widow goes to an unjust judge who, by his own admission, didn't fear God or even care for people. But the widow wears him down to grant her justice just so he can get rid of her. And then Jesus turns to the disciples, and we overhear this conversation. And he's talking to us as well, and he says this: "So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" And then Jesus says, But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who are faithful? Now we're going to swing over to 2 Timothy and join these two together. Hear these words. You must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. I thank God for persistent adults in my life. Now today, if you haven't noticed, it is Children's Sabbath, and we are not gathered here to see how cute and precious our children are, although they are cute and precious. We're gathered here to celebrate children everywhere, children who will someday become adults, and it is up to other adults to help them get there. You all know that I was a person who taught and was involved in public education for many, many years. And most of those years were spent with middle school students. Now, I don't know what that says about me as a person, but that is really what I loved the best, teaching and being a counselor for middle school children. In fact, I was at a at a conference one time, and the presenter said, all right, I want you all to, it was all teachers, and the presenter said, I want you all to think about a butterfly. And if you like pictures of butterflies and you think they're beautiful, maybe even you like to color them and put pictures of them on the walls, raise your hands. And so some of the teachers raised their hands, and he said, y'all are the elementary school teachers. And then he said, all right, now I want you to think about a butterfly, and if you like to study the developmental stages of a butterfly and maybe put exhibits of butterflies and the different kinds up on the wall so that people can learn more about them, raise your hands. And so a lot of people raised their hands. He said, okay, y'all are the high school teachers. And then he said, okay, now I want you to visualize a beautiful butterfly just sitting nicely in your hand, flapping its wings. And if I gave you $5 million to rip its wings off, raise your hands. Well, my hand went up, and he said, y'all are the middle school teachers. So I don't know what it says to love middle school, except that you can't ever give up on them. And so as they would come to me and complain about this or that and say, this wasn't fair, or somebody did something mean, or whatever the complaint was, I would look at them and I would say, everything you are doing and experiencing right now is to help you practice to be an adult. And they would look at me and I would say, really? And so it makes me wonder today, what we are teaching our children when we don't give them anything to practice with. Because as far as persistence goes, it is up to the adults to be more persistent than the children. That's our job. It's not our job to be friends with them, not yet anyway. That'll come later, after they have figured out that they can trust us. So how do we get them to trust us? Adults, you know I'm talking to y'all today? Good. How do we get kids to trust us? Is it by protecting them and making sure they never have to face any trial or hardship? Is it by giving them what they want so that they can always avoid conflict? Is it by bribing them for exhibiting good behavior by following the rules that were simply there and put there by the adults? No. Children are like sponges. They learn so much faster and so much easier than adults do, and they will learn from the people who surround them. So the questions are, will they learn to follow Christ? Will they learn to follow people who say things that are pleasing to them? Or will they learn to look for evil in all kinds of places? Because they will learn something. Children learn. It's how they're put together. So we have a responsibility to teach them how to be loving and faithful. But we, the adults, have to be stronger willed than our children are. And I'm telling you, that's not an easy task. We have to be like the persistent widow and wear them down, even if we're irritating them and even if they get mad at us. So you're going to ask now, well, so where does love fit in all of this? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We always go to Jesus to find the answer to that question. Jesus is the embodiment of love. And yet he is the very one who said, I came to bring not peace, but a sword. Now that doesn't sound like someone who is looking for affirmation. Or like someone who is satisfied with the status quo. In fact, if you take time to look at the scriptures, I don't think you will find one instance where Jesus mistook affirmation for love. Jesus' example of love always includes strength and the refusal to give in when the going gets tough. And you don't have to look very far in Scripture to find that out. In that Luke passage, Jesus is telling the disciples to pray persistently and not to give up. That's what love is all about, persistence and not giving up on the ones we love. So it seems to me that our job as adults is to pray persistently for our children, to stay in the game with them regardless of the tactics they use to get their own way, and to never give up on them or ourselves. That's what children are looking for, adults who will do what they said they would do and who will never give up on them, even when other people might. That's what an adult who knows God looks like. Regardless of the task or the enormity of the resistance, believers never give up in seeking the right path and pointing others toward it. So how do we persevere in this journey? Well, I'm glad you asked that too. We persevere by leaning on God, by studying the scriptures, and by praying persistently. Now, if you don't know the scriptures, it is never too late to start. If you don't know how to pray, that's easy. You just start talking to God. And if you feel like a nut talking out loud to somebody you can't see, just keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, and pretty soon you will know that God hears you. But if you don't know how to lean on God, then go back to number one and number two. And then you will learn how to lean on God. But never, ever give up in your quest to know God better. Because the better we know God, the better are our chances of teaching our children who God is and giving them a firm foundation and a right path to follow. Jesus never told his followers to be wimpy and unsure of themselves. He said to be humble. He said to love all people. But he didn't say to sacrifice the next generation because we couldn't or wouldn't teach them. It's our calling. It's our responsibility. It's our mission to teach the children of the world that Jesus loves them. And here in this community of Mason, all these children who live in this community don't just belong to their families of origin. When we baptized Bodie, did you hear me as I said, I give you back your brother in Christ. He is now a member of the family of God. It's a really big family. And our responsibility is to help them know who the family is, and what the family does, and how the family gets through trials and tribulations. And here's another thing I want to tell you before I close. Our children, I want you to hear this, our children are not the future of the church. They are the church right now. They are learning, they are testing what they learn, and they are indeed the church. The kids who stood up here and sang, they were cute, but they were proclaiming the gospel to those of you who were here to listen. So may we be seen as adults who can be trusted. May we be persistent in our efforts. And may our ears never be itchy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.